Last Sunday we talked about the two thieves on the cross. We stopped right in the middle of it. One of them said, if you be Christ, get us down. Another one said, you know what you're talking about. We ought to be here. This man shouldn't be here. Now we're going to pick up this morning in verse 41 on the thief that got saved. And a lot of things you can learn about this now. And I'll try to discuss a lot of them. And I want to show you one of the things, though, that's why you got to be careful of these new Bibles. Now, I know I was out in the jail the other day, and a man asked me, he says, preacher, I'm not trying to be smart, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but let me ask, what is wrong with the NIV? He said, I don't see nothing wrong with it. And so I began to show him a few things. He said, well, still, I just don't see it. So, you know, that's something else. God has to show you what's the truth and what's not the truth. And I can stand here all day and tell you that the King James Bible is preserved word of God, but if you don't believe it, I'm not going to do anything about it, you know. And you got to accept it by faith as what God said. And if you know your Bible and you know what these others say, you can tell that the devil is making an attack on what God said. That's how he started in Genesis. We preached on that here a few Sundays ago. This man in verse 41, Luke 23:4, he said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Now, there's a lot of great points in that verse. The first I want to show you about that is this, is when God starts to deal with you, the one thing you will quit doing, you'll quit making excuses about your sin and the condition you're in. You know, everybody's got to, you talk about, you know, why don't you go to church? Well, you know, I just don't have time to go to church. I've got other things to do. I've got, you know, Sunday's my day off, and I got other things I need to do, and I have to, only I can cut the lawn, and all kinds of excuses. See, well, that's just somebody God ain't showing nothing. Because when God starts to deal with you, the excuses you use will just go away. You'll know better. Now, this man could have said, you know, well, you know, we didn't really do that. We just happened to be picked up. We just in the wrong place. They thought we did it. We didn't do it. This man said, we're getting what we deserve. See? Now, you see yourself as what you are, and what God said, you're going to realize you're a sinner and you ought to go to hell. And you quit making excuses about it. Everybody's right in his own eyes. There's a way which seemeth right in a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 23. Every person sees things right in his own eyes, okay? Now, let's get the little girl settled down back there. She's kind of going to stir around this morning, so get her comfortable back there. All right, this modern-day television, this modern-day preaching, modern-day ministry, liberal preaching, God loves you like you are. Doesn't mean, folks, that's out of hell. Now, you can mark her down. Or you can turn on that TV show and that Pat Robertson and these Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll, all and these fellas come on the radio and TV and tell you that, you know, God loves you and God wants you to be, God don't try to want to change, he just wants to accept you the way you are and you can still be happy and live your life. All you got to do is come to God, he loves them. That's out of hell. That's a ministry out of hell, and no Bible believer's going to listen to it, no saved person's going to listen to it. Now, trying to preach, and I'm going to teach you something here, but I'm trying to show you something. The Bible just don't match what you see and hear today on this modern day stuff, you know, coming out. The other day here, my wife tell you there was a man here. He wrote me an insurance policy, and he's a Methodist, and we was talking about something about the Lord, and I forget how the subject came up, but he said, "You heard about the big revival?" I said, "No, I haven't." I know it's not one, because there was one, I would have heard about it. I mean, if God ever brought a big revival, all the saved people wouldn't hear about it, okay? Oh, man, up there somewhere in Alabama, they getting slain in the spirit, folks even getting to church. I said, somebody ain't preaching. Well, I don't know about that. I know they're having a big revival. See, he don't know nothing. He's probably not even saved. Slain in the spirit. Well, can you imagine somebody saved being that ignorant? Every time you find that in the Bible, somebody, that's an unclean spirit knocking somebody down. With Saul in the book of Revelations, why, no Nobody ever was knocked back from Christ. When anybody ever come to Christ, they always come humble face down. Nobody's ever knocked back from Christ by the Spirit of God. There's no Bible for that. That's as unscripted as Santa Claus on December 25th. Huh? All right. Now, this man on the cross, this thief on the cross, he bore witness to the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. He said, this man done nothing. I wonder how he knew that. Huh? How'd this man know that? How'd this man could... How come one man could say, if you be the Christ, get us down. Get us out of here. You know, we're in trouble. Get us down. And one man said, no, we ought to get what we get. But this man died. Now, what's the difference in the two men? I told you last Sunday. Well, one man come to church and hear the word of God and get on his face and ask God to save, another man leave cussing the preacher. What's the difference? God dealt with one, doesn't he? Didn't deal with. You say, well, then God is a respect of a person. No, God not respect a person. God deal with a person on the basis of what he believes in his heart, see? One man will believe and God will deal with, another man will reject and God won't deal with him. Now, that's the way it works. I mean, well, I like it. That's the way it works. When you hear the word of God and you accept it, God will deal with you. When you reject it, God will harden you. You won't never get nothing right. All right? Now, this man, like I told you, he had a revelation from God right there on the cross, okay? Now, look at verse 42, and here's a verse I want to show you something. I want you to pay real close attention here, and I'd like for you to learn this morning, because this will help you when somebody comes and say, what's wrong with the NIV? What's wrong with the New Central Version? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that translation? Now, let me show you what they've done here. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus. Okay? Does everybody understand that? He said this to Jesus. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now turn your Bible to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. And you, if you're saved, well, you ought to know what I'm fixing to do. If you don't, you ought to learn this. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That's on page 1204 in Scofield Bible. Okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus. Huh? What I read? Did I read it right? Romans 10:9 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Okay, now what is that? That's a salvation verse, isn't it? Alright? That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, condition, promise, thou shalt be saved. Okay? Now, if you picked up an NIV, which is recommended by a lot of these so-called Bible scholars and schools and Christians in America, your Bible would read under this. I'm writing that thing wrong. Anybody read that? That's what the New Bible say. New Bible say, he said, Jesus. And Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is not there. They took it out. The New Bible took the salvation away from that man in his last 9 minutes. I've told you there's five major verses in the Bible that deal with salvation by grace. And these new Bibles attacked every one of them. And I told you that these new Bibles, every one, they attack the salvation, they attack the deity of Jesus Christ, they attack salvation by grace, and they attack judgment. No true Bible believer would ever use these modern day translations. Okay? Get you one, get you an NIV, or get you this New Century Version, and you'll find the Bible says he said unto Jesus. The man didn't say Jesus, he said to Jesus, okay? You understand what I'm trying to show you? They take the word Lord out and insert Jesus. He said Jesus. The man didn't say Jesus. The man said Lord. He said it to Jesus. See? That's what the new Bibles do. Which means that Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, which he did, or if you don't. Well, if you won't confess the Lord, then you won't get saved. Okay? So they took salvation away from this man, according to that Bible. Now, you know, they talk about all this stuff, you know, better translation. Now, the word Lord, now you notice that's a capital L-O-R-D, doesn't it? That's deity. That's the same word in the Old Testament as Jehovah. Okay? Jesus was Lord Jehovah. Okay? And it means absolute master. See? When you confess the Lord, you confess he masters your life. Okay? And he says, Lord, remember me. Okay? He said, remember me. Now, at the last judgment, which we preached on last Sunday morning on Revelation chapter 20, the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you, see? All right, so if this man said, Lord, remember me, now if the Lord remembers him, or if the Lord ever knows you, he'll never say, depart from me. Another verse proving you're eternal. Once you're saved, you're eternally saved. See? And you think that God would know you and forget you and say, I never knew you? That's not, you can't get that from the Bible. That's just a religious theology, see? These people say, well, you know, Lord, you can lose your salvation. And I was telling a man that one time. I said, over in the Bible where it says, I depart from me, I never knew you, means he never, never knew him at any time. Which he never was saved. You can't say that the Lord saved you and he knows you and then one day go look at you and say, I never knew you, depart from me. You can't say that. You can't get that out of the Bible. Okay? So this man had some beliefs. He believed that Jesus was the Lord. Okay? He believed in the resurrection. And this man here, the last man, or we could say the only man in the Bible, to get saved in his last hour of death. Okay? This man, now listen, there's two men, one here, one here, one in the middle, and one man died and went to hell. Another man died and went to paradise. Now what's the difference? See? The difference is just like it is today, what you do with Jesus Christ. What you do about Jesus Christ, not how religious you are, not if you go to church, not if you take the sacraments or live a good life. The difference is what are you going to do with Jesus Christ, okay? All right, look at verse 43. And this is the response. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now see, Jesus said, I say. Now that's the authority. Okay? When Paul wrote to Titus, he said, speak these things with all authority. When you tell people what God says, you do it with some authority. You don't just say, well, in my class of Greek and Hebrew, we learned that this word really means this. See, that's no authority. The authority is God said it, and I'm telling you what God said. And Jesus said, I say, that's the highest authority it is. Amen? There's no authority higher than what the Lord says. Okay? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Okay? Now, if you had a Roman Catholic Bible, which I don't have one, I've seen it, that verse also is attacked. Now, what did Jesus say? Look at your Bible now and follow me along. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee. And your Bible got a comma there, doesn't it? Okay? Jesus said this, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now let me read it the way the Catholic Bible reads it. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee today, comma. See what they've done? Jesus didn't say it today. He didn't say, I'm saying this today. He said, today you'll be me in paradise. You see what you've done when you move that comma? You change the whole meaning of the whole thing. See? So they've altered that thing. And that's why I said, you listen, folks, you'll never get saved and be a consistent Christian apart from the King James Bible. Now mark her down. You may like that. I don't care who hears this. I don't care whether you like it or not like it. You'll never get saved and be a consistent Christian without a King James Bible. You might be a church member. You might be religious. You might be the finest fellow in the town. Everybody might like you. But if you say you're a Bible-believing Christian, don't use a King James Bible, you're a lying hypocrite. I said it. All right? And there's a lot of them around, ain't there? A lot of them around. Now, there's another great thing that Jesus said that you ought to pay attention to. I will even notice not. But Jesus didn't say today you'll be in paradise, did he? Huh? What'd he say? He said, today you'll be with me. See? Now, that's what really what salvation is. Salvation is not the fact you're going to heaven. Salvation is Jesus Christ. It's nothing else. I mean, it's not the fact, well, you know, I'm saved and I go to church and, you know, I die, I'm going to heaven. Well, if you died and went to heaven, Jesus Christ, well, now you wouldn't have nothing to go to. Amen? I've heard the old preacher say, well, boy, Lord, if I went to heaven, my mama wasn't there, I wouldn't want to go. Well, that's a heck of a way to talk for a saved man, ain't it? Now, I appreciate my mama, and I'm sure you appreciate yours. Let me tell you, the mama ain't salvation. And heaven will be heaven where the mama's there or not there. Amen? Heaven won't be heaven because mama's there. Heaven will be heaven because Jesus Christ is there. You better get that straight. All right, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now the promise of a Christian is you're going to be with the Lord. The Bible makes a promise in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and then Christ shall rise first. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay? And then Peter says some more about that too, and we won't get in all that scripture this morning. Okay? Alright, so salvation is number one, is not just as heaven, but it's Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at something else about this man. He's on the cross. He's about probably the most 3 hours away from death. Suppose that Jesus would have said, well, if you get baptized, you can go to heaven. He'd have been in a mess, wouldn't he? The man didn't get baptized. Okay? He didn't have time to talk in tongues. He didn't have time to reform his life. Okay. He couldn't even tithe. Now the Baptists would put him in hell because he didn't tithe. See? Now this day and time, if you Baptists don't tithe, you just about consigned to hell. They call you a robber, a crook, and I think you ought to, but I'm misunderstanding. But let me tell you something. Whether you tithe or don't tithe, don't decide whether you get saved and go to heaven or hell. Okay? They might decide your blessings in life. They might decide a lot of things God bless you with, but it don't decide whether you go to heaven or hell, whether you tithe or don't tithe. Now, this man couldn't go to Mass. Suppose the Catholic Church is right. Unless you come partake of the sacraments of their church, you can't go to heaven. Well, this man couldn't go to heaven then. See, which is another lie, you know. All right. He never got baptized, never talked in tongues. All he could do and all he did was he trusted a man dying like he was dying. Okay? And that's true today. You can't live until you die with Christ. That's in, let me read it to you. We've read it before. Let me read it to you again so you won't maybe put it together. Romans 6. And I've just been reading in verse 2. Romans 6, verse 2. That's on page 1198. Now listen to this. Romans 6, verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I hadn't quite got that far this morning yet, but when Christ died, he took your sin on him. Okay? Now you get saved, you got to die to what he died for. Okay? Now you know the old saying, you know, that somebody will get mixed up and they go back and they say, are you living in sin? You can't live in sin. Nobody lives in sin. You die in sin. If you're saved, you can't live in sin. Now you can commit sin, but you only live in Jesus Christ. No such thing as living in sin. All right? Look at verse 3. Know ye not. Now see, you see, if something you read your Bible, you notice that the Bible never gives any options. It never gives any close to, just about, almost. It's either one or other. And Paul says, you know this. You know this. Know ye not. He didn't say, now, it could be, or it's very possible, or it's been known, but he says, you know this, know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Christ, were baptized to his death. So you got to get baptized, right? There ain't no water nowhere in Romans 6. Church of Christ tell you that, but there's no water there. That's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about the spiritual baptism. See? You know, I tell you here, you can get baptized in water this afternoon, and you'll dry out for night. Right? When you get saved this morning, you'll be saved for eternity. See? Don't let them kid you, folks. Don't let nobody kid you there. Now this is the verse that some of these churches use to prove water baptism for salvation. All right? Look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. Okay? Unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Did you walk in newness of life because you got baptized or because you got saved? Huh? Well, if you get baptized, before you get baptized, you're a dry sinner on the way to hell. After you get baptized for salvation, you're a wet sinner on the way to hell. Okay? Nothing's changed. Now verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now here's the verse 6. Knowing this, now we know this, that the old man, that's your, before you got saved, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So what sins about you? Huh? You live in a body of sin. When you get saved, you don't live in that body of sin, you live in Christ. Okay? Now, I'll spend 30 minutes there with you. I think you understand. We've taught that book to you before. But this man didn't have time to do none of these religious things that require today to be saved or stay saved. Okay? But he had a promise from Christ that he was going to be with him in paradise that day. See? Without performing anything or doing anything. All the man did was what God requires, confess in his heart that Jesus is the Lord. Now you can't believe that if you don't believe Jesus resurrecting the dead. This man knew that Jesus was going to resurrect. He believed that. See? See, how you know he believed that? What he didn't he know Jesus was dying like he was? And what did he say? Remember me when there cometh thy kingdom? He must believe he's going to come back, or he couldn't have come into his kingdom. See? Alright? Now, let me show you something else about this man and try to... I hate to spend so much time about it. There's some things important I'd like for you to learn. One more thing about this man. This man, what does salvation do for this man on earth? Huh? I mean, he still died on the Roman cross. Amen? It didn't change nothing for him on this earth. Didn't change one thing. Now, it might for you. You get saved. I mean, things, I'm sure that, you know, you'd have a better life, and you might have some things happening in life that's better for you, but this man didn't have time for all that. It didn't change his condition in this world one bit, did it? Now, you might get saved, and whatever you're doing right now, whatever you're working on, might just keep on going. But what does it change? It changes your eternal destination, don't it? See? This man was on, when he was put on that cross, he was a thief that was accused and charged and sentenced to die, and he died on that cross, but when it took him down, he was dead. He didn't go to heaven, he didn't go to hell like the other one did. It changed his destination, okay? Now, you can rest assured that if salvation, if you get saved, it may not change nothing in this world for you, but it'll change your destination, okay? And you know, I look at this thing, and I read about the two thieves, and I read about Jesus Christ, and you know, it's a lot easier to understand the thief better than it is the Lord. I mean, you can understand, we know that Christ died for our sins. We know that. We believe that. But can you understand, can you really understand why he did it? He didn't have to. He was God. He's as much God at cross as he is today. You don't understand the thief going to the cross because you don't understand how people commit crimes worthy of death and they die for their crimes. But I'm going to give you three reasons why Christ died. Give you three reasons. Number one, he died for our sins. We know that. Okay? Number two, he died to satisfy the righteous judgment of God. Okay? And number three, he died to redeem all creation from the power of sin and Satan. See? I mean, that's why the Bible said the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, waiting for the coming of Christ. You see? When Adam sinned, he not only threw the human race into a state of sin, he threw the creation in a state of sin. That's why you have wild animals and hurricanes and tornadoes and everything else goes in this world, because this world is under a curse of sin because of man. And one day, man will get right, get his sin right, taken care of, and then the creation will straighten out. I assure you, in the millennial kingdom of God, there will be no earthquakes, no tornadoes, no hurricanes, none of that stuff will be going on. And there'll be no wild animals, there'll be no poisonous snakes, none of that will be around. Right? All right, come on down there to verse 44. Luke 23, verse 44. All right, the Bible says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now, what is that sixth hour? Anybody know? You said that was 6 o'clock in the afternoon, wasn't it? Because I said the sixth hour, didn't it? Well, let's just, I'm not an artist, so don't pay attention to my drawing, but let's look at that like this. Let's say 12 and 3 and 6 and 9. Okay, I'm just going to draw that. Now, what the sixth hour be? Somebody tell me. Would it be here? How about here? Okay. The sixth hour, because the day started at 6 in the morning in those Bible times. The day didn't start at 1 minute after 12 like we got the old calendars now. Bible said the evening and the morning was the first day. Okay, the day started at 6 o'clock. So here was the sixth hour, and the ninth hour was this. All right, now this is the time that Jesus died. He died at noon. He hung on the cross from 9 in the morning until 12 noon. And from 12 noon to 3 in the evening, the world become black. Jet black. And that's why I taught in the crucifixion week, he was buried between here and here. Okay? He's probably putting the tomb about here because the Bible says 3 days and 3 nights, and you can't get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday till Sunday, okay? Uh-oh, got trouble here. All right. So this thief got saved at about noon, and the Bible said it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Darkness from here to here, 3 hours of darkness, and that darkness is a black darkness. It's a darkness you can feel. You know, have you ever been in a dark? You ever been in a place that's so dark you can feel it? I mean, where there's no light. The best I can explain, we used to go up in them mountains, they took us down these caves. And they turned out all the lights. And I'm kidding you folks, you could put your hand right there and you couldn't see it. You'd feel it and still couldn't see it. That is a black, and that's what the world, you see, because when Christ died, he said, I'm the light of the world. God turned the light out. Okay? Now, to picture that in salvation, and you understand that when God turned the light out in a man's heart, he'll never get saved. He'll never get saved. So there was a complete darkness over all the earth for 3 hours. Okay? And then the Bible said in verse 45, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the middle. Okay? Let's go back and pick up something here in Matthew. Matthew 27, let's look at that veil just for a minute. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, I think. Okay, it's on page 1042. And look at Matthew 27, verse 50. Matthew 27, verse 50. All right, Bible says, and when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You know, I was thinking, I read that, you know, when the Bible said when Christ died, that veil where the back in the Old Testament there was a tabernacle, and let me try to show it to you. I'm not an artist, but there was a tabernacle, and it was laid out something like this, and it had three compartments, and they come in here. This is where they made the sacrifice. This is called a holy place. This place here is called the Holy of Holies. And nobody could come in here but the high priest once a year. Once a year, 364 days and 18 hours. And but there was one man that could come in here and communicate with God. The rest of the people couldn't come in. Anybody ever went here without blood, God killed them immediately. There were no mistakes when you went in there. That's why when that high priest went in, he wore a chain on his leg and bells. He wore bells, a long little bell would ring, and they knew he was alive. And those bells quit ringing, he had a chain, they drug him out feet first because nobody could go back there. You understand that? But the Bible says, when Jesus died, this thing here was tore open. You know what that means? That means there ain't no priesthood they would save people. Anybody saved can go in there right straight in the throne room with God. But you gotta have blood. See? You gotta have the blood. I mean, an unsaved man can't walk in there and talk to God. Okay? Now look at your Bible. Matthew 27:51 said, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks rent. You know, you think about all these religious leaders, old Buddha and Mary Baker Pounder, you know what happened when they died? They just died and they buried him. But when Jesus died, the world shook. Huh? That's why I know he's God. The rest of them ain't, see? Wouldn't it be something for a man to say, well, I'm a Mohammed because Mohammed was a great man. Mohammed died and didn't nothing happen. He rotted in the ground, the worms eat him, he'd gone to hell. That's what you're going to believe, that's what you're going to follow? Huh? Well, you can if you want to, see? Now, let me take your Bible, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's look at something. Let's get a couple of things together here on this. And time's going to give out on us this morning before we finish. But Hebrews 6. And let's pick it up verse 17. Hebrews 6, 17. That's on page 1295. Page 1295, Hebrews 6 and verse 17. No, I'm on the wrong page, 1296. Okay, Hebrews 6, 17. The Bible says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, that word immutability means a quality of being unchanged. Okay. Verse 18, that by two innumerable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that he might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. See? Now, I tell you, that high priest went in and came out once a year in communication with God. But come on down there, look at verse 19, Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Okay? In other words, that high priest went in and came out every year. But the Bible said, now look up there, number one, it says that God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie, right? Okay? Or if it's impossible for God to lie, we have an anchor of the soul. In other words, in this life, the storms of life and the troubles of this life can't move our soul because we got an anchor for our soul and it's based on what God said. You hear me now? See, the Bible says that God's His immutable counsel confirmed by an oath what God said, and it's impossible for God to lie So no matter what happens or what comes in this life, we got an anchor of the soul, and that anchor of our soul is based on what God said. That's a great promise, isn't it? You know why? Because we don't have to have a high priest to go in there for us and tell us what what God said. We go right straight in our own ourselves. That's why I said there's no priesthood today, folks. These fellas put the shirt on backwards and call themselves followers. They're a bunch of phonies. And I tell you something else. If you follow one, you are deceived, and you'll be a phony too if you don't get right with God. Now, I realize a lot of folks don't like that, but it's high time you heard some truth and learned something. Amen. All right, now let's go back. Just keep going. Turn your Bible about two more pages to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I look at verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. All right, let's read it. Hebrews 10:19. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, because we're Baptists, right? Because we are brought to the Catholic Church, right? No. How can you enter into this place here? How can you enter in there? Huh? What does your Bible say? By the blood, doesn't it? And what does the Bible say about God? It's impossible for him to lie. You think you'll get in there without blood, you go on in, you'll go to hell. I mean, you just think you saved because you went up for some guy with a shirt on backwards and he forgive your sins and intercepted you. You just trust that if you want to, you'll end up in hell. Now look at verse 20, Hebrews 10, verse 20. The Bible says, by a new and living way. Now what was this back here? In the Old Testament, was that a living way? Huh? That wasn't no living way. That guy could mess up and be killed that quick. That wasn't no living way. Therefore, anybody that goes in here with blood is safe. They weren't safe back in the Old Testament. If that guy went in this place here and messed up, he was a dead man. He was a dead man. Now, ain't you glad you're living on this side of the resurrection? Well, I'd hate to have been back there. I'd hate to try to go back and live under that now. But the Bible says, verse 20, Hebrews 10:20, by a new and living way, which he hath concentrated for us through the veil. See? That is to say, his flesh. His flesh died for our sins and let us in. Because he died, when his flesh died, that veil was open Matthew said, from the bottom to from the top to the bottom, okay? Means that God did it from the top. Man didn't do it from the bottom up. God did it from the top down, all right? verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Okay? Listen to that now. The Bible says, full assurance of faith. See? Now, full assurance is real faith. What do you mean, faith? Well, you believe in everything God said about it. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Well, if he can't lie, what he said's got to be right. You got to put faith in that. That's what you got to go by. Never mind what the church teaches. Never mind what the schools teach. Never mind what the religion teaches. What does God say about it? That's what you got to put your faith in. All right? Now, let me ask you something this morning. You're promised in the Bible a glorified body. You're promised heaven. You're promised a reign with Jesus Christ. You're promised to see the glories of Jesus Christ before God creates the world. Have any of you seen it yet? Huh? Well, how do you know it's there? How can you be so sure? Huh? Come on now. Because your preacher told you? Because you went to church? How can you be so sure? Because you got a Bible and God told you what he said about it, right? See, full assurance of faith. See? So how do you know you're saved? I can prove I'm saved. Can you? I can't. I can prove to anybody I'm saved. Can you? Can you do that? Well, you can't. You better check up and see why you can't. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, I realize that's doctrine. It's a Jewish doctrine, but you know that. Okay, what is pure water to us today? It's the Word of God, isn't it? Okay. All right, so the Bible said in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Okay, so what if you say, well, what if a man quits believing? Okay, if you ever did believe, God's faithful. You better trust the faithfulness of God, not your faith. You say, well, I'll hold out. What if you don't hold out? You ain't got nothing to worry about it because God is faithful, okay? Now, we ain't got time to finish all this morning, but I want you to just remember two things. Number one is, we have the right today to go directly in the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't need no mediator, no priesthood. We don't need Mary. We don't need none of these religious doctrines to go in the presence of God.